Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing that's been. And just for his presence in this place. I can't help but to feel his presence in this place. I trust that you do as well. We pray all week long that God would use this as a place of refuge, and not only for the members of the church, but for anyone and everyone who would come through the doors of this church. And our God is a refuge. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, I'm going to read the first three verses. So if you'll stand with me this morning, if you're able to, and as I read, you follow right along with me. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. The Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we do love you. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of freedom that we and the United States of America, citizens of this great nation, enjoy because of the sacrifice of so many. And Father, I just pray that we would continue to show an appreciation and be thankful for what we have. And now, Father, as we look into your precious holy word, and I believe that you have a message for each one of us here today through your word, and I pray that you might empower the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm looking out this morning and I see all the different flags of the different military. And if you're underneath the balcony, or if you're in the balcony, you can't see that. And so you might want to come out and before you leave today just to look at all the different flags, because we have put them up to honor all of our veterans today. As a Veterans Day, to have a national holiday to remember and to show appreciation for our veterans, I believe is very important for society. I know it's a blessing, it should be a blessing for every veteran to be appreciated, to know that your sacrifice has been noted and appreciated for that, but it's also very important that every generation be aware of what others have sacrificed for them to have what we experience and what we have today, the freedoms that we have, knowing that they don't come free. That there has been tremendous sacrifices made for us to enjoy the freedoms that we have in America this morning, to appreciate, to be thankful for, to hold on to those memories. I think it impacts society. As I studied a little bit about just the Veterans Day, I found that Veterans Day was established after the end of World War I, on the date of November the 11th, 1918, and then it began to be honored as Armistice Day in November 11th, 1921, and then on November 11th, which is the date that we acknowledge as the end of the World War I, November 11th, 1954, it became Veterans Day. And so as a nation, we have honored the veterans ever since that on that particular day. Establishing memorials is something that came from God. I believe society, especially in America, we want to continue to establish those memorials that take us back to help us to remember sacrifices made. So again, so that we might be thankful, be a thankful people. God understood the importance of establishing memorials. God's done it to benefit humanity. Since the beginning of the Old Testament, if we had time, we'd go through the Bible and we show just what God had for Old Testament Israel and all the different things that he did for them. And there was memorials set up so that they could remember God and what God has done for them so that they could live a life of thanksgiving, being thankful. Yeah. But the one that I want to spend a little time on this morning was the one that was established some 2,000 years ago. It's the one that's most important if the United States is going to continue to have the blessings of God upon it. And I think it's one of the most important for society, for us to truly respect, have a love one for another, and have a desire for our society to acknowledge the blessings of an almighty God upon this great nation. You see, Jesus established a day and a place for all humanity that will, but especially a somewhat commandment for New Testament Christianity, to set aside and remember him. A day and a place. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, we find that Paul was writing to the believers in the church at Corinth, as the need for them to support a struggling church now that's in Jerusalem. There was much persecution taking place. And in Jerusalem, the believers had been scattered abroad. And so there was a struggling church there in Jerusalem. And so Paul is writing to the different churches. And here we have the record of Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Again, it's not Paul's writings. It's God's writings working through the Apostle Paul. He was led and directed, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write exactly what he wrote. And then God has written it down for us and preserved it so that we would have it today as God's holy word. And so it's more than just literature, it's more than just the writings of Paul, but it's God's holy word for you and I today and for this entire New Testament church age to look to find God's will for our lives. But Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth. They would already know that Sunday was the day to assemble and give back to God. The day. And he says right here, he says upon verse 2, it says, upon the first day of the week, he said, as you have been accustomed to do since Christ, as you understand, this is the day when you assemble yourselves to give back to God what God has given to you as he has commanded. There is a need in Jerusalem. There is a need for us to give. This would be somewhat of a missions giving to be able to support the church in Jerusalem. But what it does for us, it helps us to verify the day. See, the day was to commemorate the resurrection of the Savior. It would be known as the Lord Jesus Christ, his day. The Lord's day. If you look back to John in chapter 20 with me, John chapter 20, verse 19, the Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Now that's when Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. And that's when he would meet for the first time with the assembly of his disciples. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So we find here, as Jesus Christ resurrected on the first day of the week, we also find that he met with the assembly as they would assemble on the first day of the week. In the book of Acts, Acts records the apostolic age, the first century of Christianity. In Acts in chapter 20 and verse 7, Acts in chapter 20, verse 6 and 7, we find here, and we sailed away, this is the Apostle Paul, and he said, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, there's no question about it, the early church and the early disciples understood the importance of the first day of the week. This would be the day that they would assemble. This would be the day that they would worship God. This would be the day when they would focus on and commemorate the resurrected Savior, which would give them the strength to go out from the church and to live the Christian life as God wanted them to live the Christian life in the midst of terrible persecution. But they would be strengthened by assembling themselves together and remembering the resurrection, the resurrected Christ. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. How would you like to be in that service? Amen. We'll preach to noon, amen. But another 12 hours wouldn't be too bad. Yeah. Revelation chapter 1, the book of Revelation, as the apostle John was persecuted and placed on the island, of the deserted island of Patmos, even on the island of Patmos, what gave him strength to survive was found on the first day of the week. The Bible says in Revelations in chapter 1, and Jesus would reveal himself as in his all of his glory and then give John the revelation that he would write down for the future churches of this New Testament church age. But we find here in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 10, John writes, I was in the Spirit, I was being aware of God on the Lord's day. The Lord's Day is the first day of the week. The Lord's Day commemorates the resurrection of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And as John was on this deserted island as being persecuted for his belief in Jesus Christ, where he gained his strength to survive, where he gained the help that he needed to realize that even on the island of Patmos, God had a reason for him being there. God had a purpose for him being there. And God would reveal to John the revelations that we all can look to understand what God has revealed concerning the future, and not only of this church age, but for eternity. But he would not have received that if he was not in the Spirit, aware and being aware of God on the Lord's day. the first day, of the week. It was a day and has been known to be the day of worship. Book of Mark in chapter 2. In the book of Mark in chapter 2, Jesus, understanding that he would prepare this day and prepare them for this day, there was transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The Old Testament, they had a day that was set aside to remember the creation, the God of creation. A day that was set aside to not only remember the God of creation, but the God of rest, which the law would then give them instructions on what they could and could not do on a day that they called the Sabbath day, which would have been more of the last day of the week. That's what they would have been mindful of throughout the Old Testament. And there was a purpose for that. There was a meaning for the Sabbath day. But when Jesus came, he would reveal something to them, for he knew that this New Testament church age would focus more on the first day of the week, because he would usher in New Testament Christianity. He would fulfill the Old Testament. And he would say here in the book of Mark in chapter 2 and verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. They had got things confused, and they were thinking that the Sabbath was more important than humanity. And Jesus says, no, humanity is what's most important, but humanity needed a Sabbath day. And then he says this, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He was telling them, although we understand and you understand the Old Testament, there was a need. God understood there was a need for a day to set aside, to be able to remember the creation of all things, to remember the Creator God, and to make sure that you set a day of rest aside so that you would have a full 24 hours to be able to think about and focus on the Creator of all things. He said, but there's a more important day for us today that's coming about. It's called the Lord's Day. It was called Sunday. It would be the first day of the week. And this first day of the week would be a day that we are to set aside everything else and that we are to be focused on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Sunday. Our founding fathers understood the importance of it. More than likely, your parents understood the importance of it. Yeah. Sunday in America, hasn't it changed? You go back and study history, Sunday was the most important day of the week. Sunday was a day to commemorate a resurrected Savior. It was a day that you prepared for all week long. It was a day that you would assemble yourself together to worship, to praise, to receive knowledge of God. Even society, when they acknowledged this day, they would shut down other things, especially, and what the world would get upset with is you couldn't buy liquor on Sunday. Only if they would understand that they couldn't do it Monday through Saturday either. Might have helped a lot of people. At least they set aside a day. I remember having church clothes. I'm one of 13 children. I'm the youngest of 7 boys. I had 6 sisters. We didn't have a whole lot. I always had a roof over our head. I always had food on the table. My dad was a provider. And the one thing that we always had, they might have had holes. They would have been very popular today. But they were clean. My mom would make sure that they were clean. And before I would go out the door, she would look at me. And if I had the church clothes on, she would say, "You're not wearing those outside. Those clothes are for Sunday." Amen. Now, some of you young people might think I'm ancient, but I'm really not. It hadn't been all that long ago that society acknowledged the importance of a Sunday. Amen. Established by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Chick-fil-A still acknowledges it. Yeah. And they're doing fairly well, amen? Even though they're not selling that chicken sandwich on Sunday, amen? They don't need that revenue. Because they have the blessings of God for just honoring a day that God has given to us. How far have we come as a nation? Yeah. But God's given us a day. And God's given us a place. Back over in the book of 1 Corinthians, we find not only did they understand it was the first day of the week, but we find here that Paul addresses them in conjunction with addressing all the churches. Now, concerning the collections for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia. The day is no doubt God has established as you study the Bible, if you study the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, He would resurrect on the first day of the week. He would assemble on the first day of the week. He would give us the first day of the week as the day to acknowledge Him and assemble ourselves together to worship Him. And then He would establish a place. Paul would address the churches, meaning plural. There would be many churches in every city, in every state, in every nation, because the gospel had been given, the great commission with the gospel, to take the gospel into all the world. That's what Jesus Christ came to do, and that's what Jesus Christ established for His church, for His people, as we assemble ourselves together on the first day of the week. And then the commission would be, is that church's commission would be, the assembly's commission would be, take this into all the world so that all the world can understand the importance of a day. And so all the world can understand the importance of a place where they can hear about God. They can acknowledge His existence and be taught His word. Matthew chapter 16, the book of Matthew chapter 16. The first mention of the church. Church was not in the Old Testament. Jesus was in the Old Testament. Jesus came to be Lord of the Sabbath. He came to establish the day. He came to establish the place. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, He says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," His testimony, His faith in what He just said, ask Him, "Who do you believe I am?" And He said, "You're God. You're the Son of God. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Upon that faith, upon that belief, I will build My church." The key here is My church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It would be His. And there would be many. There's no such thing as an invisible church. You see, when you get saved, you become part of the family of God. And as you become part of the family of God, then God leads you to be part of a local New Testament church. Amen. The definition of the church is a called out assembly, local, visible, autonomous, where Jesus has the preeminence. Because it's His. If you want a biblical church, you look for where Jesus is the head, who has the preeminence. The Bible says in Colossians in chapter 1 in verse 18, And this is important because so many people will say, well, we understand that Sundays is a day that we should be in church, and so let's go find a church. And they go to a place that is not established as a biblical church, and they get confused about not meeting with God and not getting anything out of the services and not being able to sense the presence of God. It's because you chose to find a church that does not have Jesus with a preeminence and he being the head of the church. The Bible says in Colossians, if you're going to go to church, then go to one that has been established by Christ, one that is biblical. Don't let the world confuse you with religion. The Bible says in Colossians in chapter 1 concerning the church, in verse 18 it says, and he is the Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, the church. The head is Jesus Christ. And the church is the body. The body is controlled by the head. I often ask people, how do you know that your body is your body? You know how you know your body is your body? Because your head's on it. Yeah. If my head's not on it, it's not my body. If a place you walk into, no matter what they call themselves, if Jesus is not the head, they're not the body. And the body is the church, the true church, the biblical church. You can get saved, praise the Lord for that. Anybody can get saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is worldwide. God has made a way for the whole world to come to him. A very easy plan of salvation. Even a child can understand this. A child of the age of accountability. I was 8 years old when I understood that I needed Jesus as my Savior. I called upon his name. I've been saved ever since. But as a saved man, I needed to be in the church. I didn't need religion. I wanted a body of Christ to be part of. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. If Jesus is replaced, you don't have a biblical church. If you replace Jesus, you'll never have a biblical church. If you want to be the head of your religion, if you want to be the head of what you believe, if you want to be the head of what motivates you, listen to me, you'll never be a part of the true church. Because you have replaced the head with yourself. If you allow a man to replace Jesus Christ, you don't have a true church. I'm a pastor, but I'm not the head of the church. I serve in the position that Jesus established for his church to represent him, but I am not the head. Jesus is the head of Lighthouse Baptist Church. If you replace the head with any other person, you don't have a real church, a true church. If you replace the head with a deacon board, you don't have a true church. If you replace the Jesus Christ with a denominational board, you don't have a true church. True church is a body with Jesus as the head. Yeah. Maybe you've been mistaken. Maybe you've been misled. That's why you're not in church today. What a great day to have a fresh start. To get back to understanding what Jesus taught concerning a day and a place. See, we need this place to be influenced by God's word. You're not going to be influenced by God's word in the world. It's not going to happen. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, I'm almost done here, so follow with me here. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says this. As Paul is writing to Timothy, he's just given the qualifications for the leadership of the church, the pastor and the deacons and all the things. But then he says this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church. It's not only the body of Christ, but it's the house of God. It's the family of God where the saved come together. The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, you need to get into a place that has Christ as the head, that looks to him for the authority and is being influencing all that comes through the doors by this Bible right here. This is the truth. This is the Word. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. The Word is Jesus Christ. That represents him. A person that is not hearing the truth is more apt to believe a lie. If you're not hearing the truths from the Bible, if you're not in a biblical church where you're hearing the preaching of the Word of God, you're more apt to believe the philosophies of the world and follow after the rudiments or the ways of humanity. No, Jesus knew that we needed to have a day and we needed to have a place if we were going to carry on the work of God. Yeah. We need it to be influenced by. We need it for accountability. We really do. Because as we assemble ourselves together, the Bible, matter of fact, let me take you to that. We're almost done here. Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 23, it says this. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Hold on to that without wavering, for he is faithful in that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works. We're thinking of each other. When you're part of a church, then you're looking to help each other. As we study in Sunday school this morning, we're looking to comfort one another. We're looking to be kind one to another. We're looking to forgive one another. But we're also looking to be able to provoke one another into love and to good works, to serve God, to live for Christ. We do that through his church. And then he says, because of that, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Look around and we see the evidence of Antichrist in our great nation here, the United States of America. Antichrist are this simply those that are anti the teachings of Jesus Christ. Look at the laws that are being passed today. Look at the society today. They no longer acknowledge a day, and no longer do they acknowledge a place. It's an antichrist society, and the Bible reveals that's how it's going to come, and it will get worse and worse as you see the day, the end of the day coming. As you see the day approaching, we need it. We need it for worship. There's nothing to take the place of worshiping together as a congregation. Sensing the presence of God when you hear the music, the Spirit of God, his Spirit bears witness with your spirit, and the preaching. If you're preaching the Bible, then God is going to take that message from the preacher's mouth and apply it to each one as they have need to have it applied. That's only God. That's beyond anything I can do. But that's exactly what God can do. Yeah. It's been said you can attend church without loving God, but you cannot love God and forsake his church. For you to love God, you have to know who he is. For you to love God, you have to understand where he stands. What is expectations of you? You can attend church without loving God, but you cannot love God and forsake his assembly. It's God's will. A day. What's Sunday mean to you? You're here today. Praise the Lord for it. What does Sunday mean to you? It's a day that Christ established to commemorate His sacrifice, His resurrection, in a place like this. We can assemble, and He says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I. I trust you experiencing His presence, His message for you. Do you know Him? If you don't know Him, you need to come to this altar. In just a minute, we'll have an invitation. And somebody can take a Bible. They're not going to tell you what the Baptists say or what a man says. They're going to take you directly to God's Word to help you to know what God says a person must do to be saved. A God that cannot lie, that you can put your faith in. And you can be born into the family of God. And then you can acknowledge Christ on the first day of the week. Every Sunday becomes Resurrection Sunday. And you can let Him lead you to plant you in a place where you can become part of that local called out assembly. Church, where you at? What are you allowing to influence you the most? A day and a place. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. John chapter 16, more than anything else, Paul reveals to them the importance of a day and a place and what God can do through that. How meaningful is it to you? Father, we bow before You now. We love You. Thank You, Lord God, for allowing us to assemble ourselves together here today. Thank You for the privilege of being able to honor our veterans on this Veterans Day. But thank You, Father, for what You have revealed to us through Your Word, understanding the sacrifice that was made and the place that was established. And I pray this morning, God, if there's someone here that does not fully understand that, they do not know You as their Savior, God, I pray that they would come, make a decision to receive You. There's those that are here, God, that are searching for something that they have need of and don't even know what it is. I pray, God, that You would help them to see it's Your church. It will make a difference in their lives. I pray, God, that decisions would be made at this altar, in this invitation, that would change lives. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.